Good evening. Merry Christmas. Sometimes I forget. I direct them and I forget. Just by way of quick announcement before we get started with the service itself, those of you who have memorial poinsettias here, at the end of the service, you are free to take them. I think if we wait till Sunday, they might not make it. So feel free. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Oh, The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Continue in our reading of Luke 2, reading verses 8 through 14. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Stand together once again as we sing, "Angels We Have Heard on High." Continuing in Luke 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a baby inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear, in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Be with me now. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your hope. For you are holy.
good evening and Merry Christmas to all of you. Beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you very much. It's so good to see so many of you here. What a wonderful, beautiful time together. The story I'm going to tell you happened a few years ago. It was during the time of my pilgrimage when I was transitioning from Christian corporate management to where the Lord led me here, the pastorate. At the time of that story, I was the chief strategy officer of an emerging Christian organization. The organization being a startup, the corporate core was not big. There were not many of us at the helm of the organization. The CFO was an abrasive, strong personality, young man. And I would not give him the pseudonym of Fabio. One day, the chairman of the board had a meeting with us at the corporate management. As I made my presentation, Fabio, who usually had some jokes about my skin color, my origin, and all those things that very often were, in my view, demeaning, he said to me, "Would you admit that you are just an add-on?" I did not think I heard right. I asked him, "Would you please repeat?" He did. The chairman of the board turned toward him and said, "You should not even think something like that, let alone have it come out of your mouth." It was a time when I was myself vulnerable. I was seeking God's purpose, having been at the top of an international organization and now seeking direction. And this comment was not helpful. An add-on. An accessory. Just an option, but not necessarily a needed part. Someone whom we could do without, but since you are here, since we have to have you, therefore we have you. Believe it or not, there are people whom God intentionally uses as add-ons. In the story of our Lord's birth, Joseph appears as an add-on in God's plan. The culture required a male, a father, a descendant of David, so Joseph was chosen not to play any significant role, but to simply be an add-on to satisfy the cultural demands. There are about four peculiar facts about Joseph that I will bring to you to show you that he was an add-on and accepted his role, played it, and thus served and magnified the Lord. The first one is the mention of Joseph's name in the story of Jesus' birth. That makes him appear as an add-on. Among the four evangelists, Matthew is the only one to have narrated a story about Joseph at the birth of Jesus. Luke mentioned afterwards when the flight went to Egypt. Mark and John completely ignores Joseph. Luke brings him up when Jesus was 12 years old. And Jesus was left behind in Jerusalem. Luke said, the parents of Jesus in Luke 1:43, where in some manuscripts the name of Joseph is mentioned, it is said that Joseph and his mother did not know that Jesus had been left behind. Some manuscripts actually don't say Joseph and his mother; they say his parents didn't know. And even that one mention of his name by Luke is disputed. And it will be Mary, not Joseph, who will speak up to the adolescent Jesus, saying, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." In the narrative, Joseph was an add-on. The story could have gone without him. Mary could have spoken to Jesus. When Jesus is born, they say that she bore her first son. There is, as we go further, we can look even at the genealogy of Jesus that is mentioned both in Matthew and in Luke. And they show that Joseph was an add-on. Matthew began with Abraham tracing the genealogy to Jesus, of Jesus in this manner. In verse 16 of chapter 1, he says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." He was known as Mary's husband. I can understand that. Luke 1:43 calls him the same. It is Mary's story, but Joseph is the husband and must be mentioned. In his genealogy, Luke puts it in an even more peculiar manner. In chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli." As was supposed. As people thought. But in reality, he was an add-on. The Holy Spirit had made other arrangement. He was father only in people's thoughts. And Jesus, at the age of 12, will say so plainly, "I must be about my father's business." And Joseph kept silent. A third fact that Joseph was intentionally an add-on is the way he received revelations. When Christ's birth was announced to Mary, Luke tells us that the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Gabriel, the archangel over the affairs of Israel, was dispatched and appeared in person in a one-to-one conversation. He entered, verse 27 tells us, he entered in the place where Mary was and spoke to her face to face. But not so for Joseph. No dispatch, no one-to-one conversation. He received his announcement in a dream. No dispatch of Gabriel. When Herod was was seeking the baby to murder him, again, it was in a dream that it was announced to him that he should flee and he went to Egypt. Only dreams to Joseph, but face-to-face appearance of Gabriel with Mary. Well, we can sugarcoat it and say that the counterpart to Joseph in the Old Testament, the Joseph who was the son of Jacob, also received all his divine revelations in dreams. We can even go further to say that the great prophet Daniel received all his revelations in dreams. But the contrast between Joseph and his wife Mary could not remain unnoticed. Gabriel is dispatched to her, but hey, just dreams given to him. The great Jewish messianic scholar, Alfred Edersheim, sees this as God's blessing. He said that the Jews regarded as God's favor, three things as God's favor to a man. He says that those three things were a good king, a good year, and a good dream. The good king will not abuse the man to send them unnecessarily to war. So the good king will help him to have a good country. The good year would bring prosperity for the head of the family, and therefore that man will not be stressed in taking care of his family. But only the dream was for himself. Only the dream. And Edersheim said, "You see, Joseph has his paw. He only had a dream, though he did not have a visit." So Joseph only had the dream to claim as his own. Everything else was Mary's. And here's the fourth and last fact that Joseph was providentially placed as an add-on. It regards the family trade. Joseph was a carpenter. And he dutifully trained his stepson Jesus as a carpenter. Yet Jesus never identified himself as a carpenter, but always symbolically as a shepherd. Joseph's carpentry trade seems irrelevant to the blend of Old Testament and New Testament symbolisms regarding the Messiah. Even the reference to Christ as the branch made by the prophet Zechariah in the chapter 3, verse 8. Branch, you'll think wood, and you'll think having mentioned that Messiah will be called the branch, therefore Zechariah would at least mention carpentry. We read this in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. And that's the Messiah. You will think that Zechariah would do something with that symbolism. No, nothing more. In fact, Zechariah is one of the most prominent prophets to speak about the Messiah as a shepherd. One has to wonder whether Mary's father was a shepherd, and that Jesus grew up identifying more with the trade his mother grew up with rather than that of Joseph. Joseph the add-on. So the evangelist barely mentions Joseph. We don't hear him speak anywhere. When they did mention him, he was identified as Mary's husband. And some of you men may be identified that way in places. The genealogies by both Matthew and Luke present Joseph as an add-on. The medium God used to communicate to Mary was different to God's communication with him, hinting that he was an add-on. His trade women with himself. Jesus never identified as a carpenter, but as a shepherd, and his people as his flock. For most of us, being an add-on would be a downer, an offense, a stumbling block, a reason to revolt. Not Joseph. You know why? Luke called him a just man. The same as James would call Job. The same as Luke himself will call Simeon. This is the way just people act. People who endeavor to live according to God's standards with no guile, no ruse. People who humble themselves to play in life their God-assigned role. The Bible calls those people just people. And these are God's intentional add-ons. They serve the Messiah. They never try to be the Messiah. They humble themselves. They let the Lord do with and through them what the Lord has planned so that the Messiah might be exalted. A just man. For it is he, not Joseph, not me, not I, not you. It is he who came to save his people from their sins. And if the Lord has chosen us to be an add-on so that the Messiah might be exalted, that is the role we should fulfill by striving to be just people. Therefore, as we think of this Christmas, this man who never spoke, in the background, God chose his wife and he's identified as Mary's husband, may we each learn from Joseph. And we each strive to be add-ons. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the testimony of Joseph. And certainly, this is a time of celebration of the Messiah. But had it not been for Joseph just doing what he was told, never elevating himself, working in the shadow, just by the side of his wife, whom God had chosen to play the role that was given to her. May we this Christmas, as we prepare for the new year, accept in righteousness to play the role that the Lord has providentially assigned to us. Be humble, be faithful, and striving to simply be an add-on to the story of the Messiah. Thus, we pray, magnify yourself. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Pastor, we are in danger of setting a record for shortest service.
I am just an add-on, brother.
You were good. And I hope you all won't mind, but we, as we close this evening, as we do every year, I'd like for you to stand as we sing Silent Night. We'll sing the first two with the piano, and then the last a cappella. Christmas. You are dismissed.